journey of faith, a journey of following Jesus, a journey of discovering who Jesus is, who God is, and what it is that needs to be done within our own lives. And I'll remind you this week, as I've reminded us each week, that through the season of Lent, we retrace some steps. Because when the season of Lent began, it began as a way of for people to practice the ways of Jesus. And the church began to take these steps of faith and re-journey. And every year, that's one of those things that I love about the church, is every year we take some new steps. And we revisit some old steps because we've all been on some different journeys. We've all been to some different places. But each new year presents new things. And each Easter season, each season of Lent offers some new things because we don't stay where we were. We look back and we say, okay, well, that's what I did last year. Well, what is it that I'm going to do this year? What are those things that I'm going to practice and I'm going to follow this year? And so we re-follow, we re-journey. And last week, I kind of left us with a question, and that question was, who is Jesus? If we're going to begin anywhere, we've got to begin with that question and wrestle that question to the ground. Who is Jesus? Who is this person that left this mark on our world? And for you and I, for those of us who follow Jesus, who is this person who left a mark not only on the world, but left this mark on you and on I? Who is that person that we need to get to know over again and reimagine what Jesus could do in our lives? And today, what I'd like to do is I want to really talk about what faith is. In our gospel reading, Jesus talks about faith, and we use faith sometimes as this kind of, you know, it's one of those things that we really can't put our hands on. We really can't grasp with our hands. And so faith is this thing that we wrestle with and we try and figure out. It's kind of like grace. You know, I would always have people go, well, Joe, it's just God's grace. And I'm like, okay, well, what is that? Somebody explain to me that concept. And faith is one of those things that really needs some explanation. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk about faith. But before I jump into that, I do want to remind you that in your bulletin, there is a Lent Week 4 handout. Now, Sherry and I, by the way, do not sit around and go, hey, what are the new things that we can type new stuff about, right? I mean, I'd say, this is all copy and paste for me, by the way, so because I don't like to retype anything. And I am the slow, Allie can tell you she's a faster typer than me, and she can do it quicker than I can, and I don't like to type because I did not pay attention in typing class. I decided that was a great time to write stories about fictional characters because I didn't need that class to pass to graduate. Anyhow, side note. However, in your bulletin, teachers, don't listen to that. In your bulletin, there are some kingdom assignments because we want to practice the ways of Jesus, right? Because we all know, you know, when you get in your car today, you're not going, gee, what did Joe talk about? You're not thinking about that at all. When you get in your car, you're thinking about lunch. And you don't care what I said. You don't care what happened. You're thinking about lunch. And so you forget about all those things. And so I thought it might be handy for you to have something in your hand that you can take with you and begin to practice the ways of Jesus. And so there is a list of assignments on here. And you just got to pick one. Just take one and do it. And then it's even better if you discuss it with somebody. It's even better if you share that. If you're in a small group, that you can discuss that with those people that you're in a small group with. If you're hanging out with some friends, that you can discuss that with some friends. I would love to hear some of the ways that you're practicing this. And so if you want to email me, that would be awesome. If you want to send me a Facebook message, that would be great because I would love to hear those things. So that's what we want to do. So faith is one of those things that begins somewhere. And believe it or not, the story of faith has a beginning. And all of us have a faith beginning. Last week we talked about, for some of us, our faith beginning began in church. It began at a vacation Bible school, or it began in Sunday school, or it began in some sort of class, or in a church somewhere, but it began somewhere. And our faith actually has a story. Our faith has a history behind it. And believe it or not, every faith tradition has this same thing. If you were to look at every faith tradition, there is a story behind that faith tradition. And believe it or not, the three biggest faith traditions claim the same beginning. They start in the same place. And they begin with a character named God. And God was this creator in the beginning. And in the beginning, they believed that it began good. That somewhere along the way, something good happened. And believe it or not, Muslims, Christians, and Jews all trace their beginnings to the same place. The three biggest religions in the world trace their beginnings back to the same place. Muslims go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Christians go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Jews go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And all three of those faith traditions believe that God did something good, that God created something good. And even though God created something good, and even though God wanted to do something good, all three of those major religions believe somehow, some way, mankind messed it up. Now, you may be sitting here and you go, okay, Joe, you are getting a little bit personal because I have not messed up anything. I have not done anything to mess anything up. Now, if you're married, I would have you go ask your spouse if you've ever done anything to mess anything up, right? Because you've jacked something up somewhere along the way. All you got to do is just do a little research, do a little history, find out, yes, you messed some things up. But if you look at all the conflict on our planet, all the conflict starts, right, where somebody is selfish or someone wants a little bit more or someone says, hey, I need a little bit more or someone says, I want what you got and I'm going to come take it. All the tragedies that happen on our planet most of the time, the majority of the time, probably 90% of the time, begin when humanity sees something and humanity does something that the rest of us look around and go, why in the world would anybody do that? Why would you take advantage of those people like that? I know several years ago, whenever I was in Joplin for the May 22nd tornado, you know, what happened right after that tornado? Well, people came in and they looted the Walmart, right? I mean, they went in and they took guns out of Walmart and they took stuff out of Walmart and people were looting and doing different things. I mean, those things exist. And so all three faith traditions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all look back and say, okay, God created something good, God did something good, and humanity messed it up. All three of them believe that humanity messed that up somewhere along the way. And we know that some of us, right, I'm not going to choose any names or call you out or anything like that, but we know that some of us continue to do things wrong, right? And we have this cycle, okay, you've said this in your head, you've done something wrong, and then you go to God and you go, okay, God, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to mess that up, and then we do it again, right? And then we go, okay, I've got to go back, or if you've been in any relationship of any kind, don't raise your hand, but maybe somewhere along the way, someone did something wrong in a relationship you were in, and they came to you and they said sorry, and you said, okay, well, cool, you're sorry, well, let's just start over. And guess what? They did it again, right? They continued to do that. And so some of us, believe it or not, we are habitual wrongdoers. We are habitual mistakers. We just kind of go back and we repeat the same cycle over and over. And all three major religions, all three major faith traditions believe that God did something to change humanity's problems. That at some point in time, all that God stepped into creation to do something different. And all three of those major religions believe that God started with the same person. That he started with a man named Abraham. And through Abraham, God began to work through him to fix humanity's problem. That all of a sudden, God stepped into the world, stepped into our lives to do something because God had to begin somewhere. And believe it or not, even though you're listening to this and you're like, okay, Joe, this is really fascinating. I think I like this. I think I can follow this. Right now, you're going, okay, Joe, what has this got to do with me? What does this have to do with me? what has everything to do with you and everything to do with me, because it touches on a tension that we all deal with. Because if there is a God, if there is a God who loves us, where do we stand? If there is a God who cares, where do I stand in all this? And then if there is a God who cares, how do I know? How do I figure it out? Does God care? Does God hear me? Now, before I go any further with this, I need to tell you a quick story to kind of illustrate where I'd like to go. Now, several years ago, I'm not sure how many years ago, it might have been 4 or 5 years ago, we were hanging out in our house in Carl Junction, and I can't remember exactly what was going on, but while we were there, all of a sudden, I heard my youngest child get sick. And it was this horrible throw-up incident. Okay, Allie remembers this. I didn't okay this with her before I started. But I've told this story before. But all of a sudden, there is this gigantic mess all over the floor. Anybody ever have one of those incidents? Don't raise your hands, right? I mean, if you're a parent, you have dealt with those situations, right? But it is just a mess. And if you know anything about me, I mean, I have got germ issues. I don't like to touch anything dirty. I just don't do that. You know, I try to stay as far away from messes as possible. And so I'm kind of standing there trying to figure out what to do. Tina's reacting, and she's like, okay, get a towel or so. I mean, do something. And so we start to clean this up, and here's what I did not do, right? I did not go, Allie, I cannot believe that you just threw up, right? I did not go, hey, Allie, I know you threw up, but why don't you go get a towel and clean this mess up, right? I didn't say, okay, well, Mom and I are going to go somewhere else and you fix this, right? Because if I were to do that, I would be what? I'd be a lousy parent, right? I mean, now granted, it was a mess. And if you know me, I mean, Tina knows me because she lives with me and she has to put up with this all the time. But deep down, I'm thinking we should just burn the house down. I mean, I don't know that this mess can be solved. So, is there anybody who relates to me? But deep down, I mean, it was a mess. But fortunately, I did what a good parent does, right? A good parent does not go, okay, you just made that mess, so you go take care of all this stuff, and you go get the paper towels, and you go get the wash rag, and you go get all that, and you go clean that gigantic mess up. Because is it my mess? No, it's not my mess, right? I mean, who knows what caused it? But as any good parent does, I stepped in to clean that up and make sure she was all right. Now, men, we are really lousy at this, by the way. Because to me, I'm like, okay, well, she's fine, right? I mean, let's just give her some pizza. She'll be all right. But just rub some dirt on it. It'll be fine. If anybody got some duct tape, that'll solve it. But any good parent in that moment responds. And as I'm telling you this story, and as you're sitting there going, man, I hope Joe did the right thing, right? Because, you know, some of you were wondering, you're like, I don't know, did he do the right thing? But you know I'm going to do the right thing. You know that a good parent steps in and does something. But the dilemma for you and the dilemma for me, and this is why this conversation is important today, is this. Is because for many of us, we don't believe that God is that good. For many of us, we have our own mess, right? Don't nod, right? But we have our own mess, and we think God does not want to step into our mess. And we think our mess is too ugly for God to mess with. We think that, you know what, I've got to throw up all over the floor. I've got it all over my clothes. I may have it in my hair. We don't have it in my hair, right? I don't have enough hair for that. But we think that we are too dirty for God to touch. We think that our mess is too big for God to step into. And what we're really saying, what we're saying is we're saying Joe is a better parent than God is. Because Joe would step in and help out his kid in that moment. Now, y'all got really quiet because we're wrestling with this. Because there are messes in life that we think are too big for God to step into. And maybe there is something about God that you and I don't know. And in this world, in our world, into our mess, steps a God who could have said, you know what, we just need to burn the place down. We just need to be done. I can't do this. But instead, we have a God who stepped into our world, who decided to do something, who stepped into a world where there was no law, where there was survival of the fittest, where slavery wasn't a second thought, where it was the norm of the day. God stepped into a world where might makes right and decided to do something, into a world that you and I cannot even imagine. And he begins with Abraham. He begins where he has to make a decision, and he says, I'm going to step in. In all three of the largest faith traditions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, all believe that it began with Abraham. And Abraham stepped into, and God decided to step, or used Abraham to step into our mess. And so roughly 1876 BC, God steps in. And what I want to do is I want to read to you a narrative that gets to the heart of what faith is. And here's the thing, you don't have to believe it, just listen in. You may think this is the goofiest thing you've ever heard, and you're like, Joe, I don't know about all that, but just listen in, and you do with it whatever you would like to do. But Abraham is a normal guy. This is a guy who gave his wife to Pharaoh. When Pharaoh saw his wife, and he looked at her, and he was like, man, she's pretty. Someone tell me a little bit more about this woman. And whenever Pharaoh's people come to Abraham and they go, hey, who is Sarah? Abraham goes, well, you know what? It's a bad idea to let them know that she's my wife because they might kill me. So I'm just going to let them know that she's my sister. I mean, that little lie will be okay, right? And then he says, oh, she's my sister. Oh, okay. Now, ladies, you may have gone through all kinds of problems in your relationships, but fortunately, your husband has probably never told anybody that you're his sister, right? But Abraham, normal guy, and God decides to start right here. And so I want to take you to a few verses in Genesis 12 where God makes some promises. And it goes this way. And the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And so he asks Abraham, go somewhere that you've never been, that you've never traveled before, and go to this place. And then what he does is he gives three specific promises to Abraham. And he says this, promise number one, I will make you into a great nation. Now, believe it or not, now I'm going to push a little bit here. So you don't have to buy any of this. You don't have to believe any of this. But think about this for a minute. That whenever God says, I will make you into a great nation, that Muslims would say, that's us. That's the Arab nation. That Jews would say, that's us. That's Israel. And that Christians would say, hey, that's us. Because God wants to do a new thing in humanity. That all three major faith traditions take themselves all the way back to this person who is promised that God will make him a great nation. And believe it or not, most people can go back to that cradle of civilization and look at all of these great nations that began right there. Many nations came from Abraham. Second promise, I will bless you and I will make your name great. Now, I need to ask you a question, friends. How many of you ever read about Abraham in Sunday school? Anybody ever read about Abraham in Sunday school? Anybody ever go to a sermon where you heard about Abraham, right? So many of us have heard about Abraham before. Many of us have probably read Genesis 12 before, and we've heard the story. Anybody know the song, Father Abraham had many sons. Anybody hear that? Am I the only person who knows that song, right? I'm not going to sing the whole thing. That's why I'm not in the choir, right? I was in a rock band. That worked out fine. But obviously it didn't work out fine because I'm right here. But but we all know, most of us in the room know who Abraham is. And chances are I could go to every church that's meeting today and say, have you ever heard of Abraham? And the majority of people would raise their hands. So now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of this person? Anybody ever heard of this person? Anybody? Nobody, right? Believe it or not, in Abraham's day, this guy was the king of Edom. And he was loaded. He was famous. I mean, everybody knew about this guy. Everybody around and in the region knew the king of Edom. But to this day, no one remembers who this is. And you'd probably have to go Google this guy or look him up somewhere to figure out. But isn't it interesting that today there are many of us who remember who Abraham is? And God promised, I will bless you and make your name great. Promise number three. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. All people groups. And this is where all three faith traditions say this. Muslims say, that's us, right? Jews go, that's us. And Christians go, that's us. All three of those major faith traditions say, hey, that's us. That's who we are. And I think God would say, that's the point. That's the point. There are countless people who would say they have been blessed by these groups of people. Now, believe it or not, now, friends, we live in America, and so we have been told that all Muslims are bad, because that's what we hear, and that's just simply not true. We've heard that Islam is this bad thing, and that is just simply not true. I've got a religious studies degree, and I know Muslims, and I know Muslims that are not bad people. So anyhow, so here's my point in all of this, is that you know that there are Muslims who do really good things, that do amazing things. And did you know that there are Jews that do some really great things? There are many inventors that are famous Jews that the world is a better place because of their existence here. And believe it or not, there are hospitals, there are churches, there are nonprofits all over the place because of what Christians do and the good work that Christians do. There are people, there are homeless people who have something to sleep on because of this church, right? And so there are good things, and people are blessed because of Christianity. And I think God would say, you know what? There are people who are blessed because of Muslims. There are people who are blessed because of Jews. There are people who are blessed because of Christians. And God would go, that's my point. That all people of the earth will be better off because of you. Now, this is where I want to shift some gears a little bit, and I want to make this a little bit more personal. And this is where I want to take us to a different part of the narrative, where everything gets a little bit more personal. Because Abraham goes on, and he hears these promises from God. And I'm sure Abraham is going, okay, wait a second. God, do you know that I am older, that I'm an old man, and I am probably not going to see a lot of this take place? That I don't know about this, and I need you to reassure me of something. I mean, God, if you're going to bless all nations through me, did you know that I don't even have any children? I am an old man, and I have no children. And my wife is barren, and things are not really good. So how are you going to give me a family? How are you going to make a nation from me? And Abraham prays one night. And after his prayer, the writer of Genesis clues us in to something and tells us something. And this is where I really want to take us. And this is remarkable. It says this, then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir. Now here's what's really important about this. At this point in time, Abraham had a servant named Eliezer. And when Abraham died, he realized that all I have is the servant. Eliezer is going to get all my stuff. And I think Eliezer is a great guy, but I don't know that he needs all my stuff. God, if you're going to make me a great nation, if you're going to bless all people through me, if you're going to make my name great, I need a son. And so he gets his answer here. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and he said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, and if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And in this moment, it's as if God is saying, I know you don't have an heir. I know you don't have a child. But at this point in time, I need you to trust me. I need you to simply trust me. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Friends, did Abraham ever see a great nation come about in his lifetime? He never did. He never saw that. Abraham never saw that all people will be blessed because of you. Those are those things that he never seen. But God says, I need you to trust me. And the writer makes a statement that you and I tend to ignore. But how remarkable is it that this statement has survived 4,000 years, and yet it has profound implications for you and for me. And he makes a statement about relationship between God and between man. And in this statement, God defines the terms of a relationship. And he says this. It says this, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." Can anyone know anything about how God feels? "And Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Now this is where all three faith traditions kind of mess this up a little bit and kind of not get it right. And this happens 2,600 years before Islam, before Moses, before Christianity ever comes on the scene. And this is the definition of what a relationship with God is. And God basically says, "I accept you because you trusted me." You're accepted based upon your trust. And trusting in God resulted in a right standing with God. And faith can simply be defined as trust. I mean, isn't that what it is? I mean, for those of you who are married, when you got married, what you were saying is, I trust this person with my life. That I'm promising that I am also going to be a trustworthy person. That we're going to stand here and we're going to make these promises to one another and we're simply going to trust. And so trust equals faith. I mean, that's what Jesus said to his followers. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, you trust in God, trust also in me. Trust is the key component. Trust is the key issue. And all three faith traditions, Jews would come along and they would say, wait a second. No, we know God loves us and we know we can trust God based on who we are because we are Abraham's sons and daughters. I mean, that was the argument that Jesus got all the time from the religious leaders. They would say, wait a second, we're Abraham's children. We're Abraham's sons. Who are you to tell us anything? I mean, if we want to be accepted by God, it's based on our birth. And then Muslims, 600 years after Jesus, would say, you know what? If you believe in Allah and you do good things, if you believe in God and you do good things, in the end, hopefully your good outweighs your bad. And you'll find out then. And then Christians come along and we jack this all the way up because we then go, okay, well, but can you trust in Jesus? But, you know, do people need to be circumcised? Yeah, I think we can trust Jesus, and then they got to observe the law. And so we mess this up, and everybody starts putting conditions on what faith is and what trust is. And all three of these faith traditions mess this up because the Jews would say it's birth. The Muslims would say it's behavior. And God is saying, how about it's trust? It's trust. I mean, come on, can it be that simple? I mean, can faith be that simple that it's simply trust, that that's what it is? Anybody, well, I've never done this, but I had to jump out into a deep water hole one time, which I do not like doing. But here's what I had to do, right? I had to trust that I was going to jump into that deep water hole and come right back up, because I could not see the bottom. I was in Honduras near a waterfall. And I had to trust that the guides were telling me the truth, that if I just jumped in there, I would come right back up. But that's what it is, isn't it? I mean, isn't it trust? Isn't it where it all begins? And we have all made a mess of our own making. And the question God says is, will you trust me? So what if the beginning for a relationship with God is simply trust? What if that's where it all begins? What if that's where it starts? So let me ask you a question and wrap it up this way. So in your view, how does God accept you? Have you lived a life believing that God simply accepts you because of your behavior? That hopefully your good outweighs your bad? Has your trust in God or your faith in God been built upon you? Well, you know what? I've been in church my whole life. I was born here. I think I'm pretty good based on that. Or is it trust? Is it simply trust, that you can trust that God loves you and God cares for you? Where is it? Well, that's where I want to leave us today, and we'll pick it up next week. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, what a great story of faith and trust. And we ask that you would give us a miraculous ability to simply trust you and to follow. Help us wrestle and help us seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.